All right, it's 6:01. Let's call the meeting to an order. Introduction of new board members. I see somebody stranger down to the left. Karen, if you could help me out there.
Well, we'd like to welcome Carlin Forner. She is our new Stearns County citizen appointee, and she's from the North St. Cloud area. Is that correct?
She's the new Laura Hayes?
Yeah, she's replacing Laura Hayes, who was on our board for quite a few years. So,
could you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Yeah, so I'm originally from Cold Spring, spent a lot of time at the library growing up. I also was a branch assistant for a while at the Melrose and the Belgrade branch. I'm a historian by training. My research is on Selma, Alabama. I worked for a while at Duke University Libraries and then moved back to the area with my husband. And we also have a 3-year-old and a 1-year-old. And I'm now based out at College of St. Benedict and St. John's University in the Academic Affairs Office, and I'm very excited to be with y'all.
Welcome aboard.
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, I'd suggest we all go home and pretty much turn it
over. You know what? I agree with you, Jeff. It's like, boy, we got a qualification.
With that pedigree, we have nothing to worry about.
And maybe at this time, too, you know, I know we wait till after, but maybe we could all introduce ourselves, starting with Ed.
Ed Pop, Commissioner of Benton County.
Sherburne County Commissioner. Jane Dietz, and I'm a citizen.
Lydia and Jim Stearns County citizen.
And Mary Eberly from Sherburne County citizen representative.
Dave Kircher, Todd County Commissioner.
Yeah, we want to know who you
are. Yeah,
we're trying to forget, but we want
to. It'd be hard. Aaron Murphy from accounting.
I'm Breanne Johnson, the communications and development coordinator.
I'm Julie Schmitz with Human Resources.
I'm Rachel Thomas. I'm a patron services supervisor.
And I'm Wayne Bauernschmidt, citizen of Wright County.
Michael Potter, Wright County Commissioner. And be careful of Aaron. He rides a Harley. He's got a fake ponytail.
Lee Lansmeyer, Stearns County Commissioner.
Jeff Bertram, citizen of Stearns County 5th District.
Wright County. Dan Bravender, Wright County citizen.
Karen Ponsonic, Director.
Randy Wincher, Morrison County Commissioner. Well, again, thank you and welcome aboard.
Thank you.
All right, then moving on to.
Oh, we should do oath of office.
Oh, yeah.
Sorry, it was one line. I missed it. So, do you want to stand to do it?
Take the oath of office.
Okay. All right. Do you want me to read it and you repeat, or you just want to?
I think I can just read it.
That sounds great.
I swear that I will support the Constitution of the United States and the Constitution of the State of Minnesota, and that I will faithfully discharge the duties of the Office of Trustee of the Great River Regional Library System according to the best of my judgment and ability.
Right. Thank you.
But your right hand is not raised.
Okay. Adoption amendment of agenda. I need a motion, please.
So moved.
Got a motion, a second?
Second.
Any more discussion? If not, those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Election of 2019 Great River Regional Library Board offices.
You all have a cheat sheet.
It's in the packet.
In the packet.
On page 3.
Randy's first year, right?
Yep.
Mr. Chair, I would move that I nominate Randy Wincher to continue for 1 year.
Second.
I move to close nominations.
I second that.
I have a motion and a second. Those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Thank you.
That's a tough, hard battle you fought there.
Yeah,
to get
that.
Thank you.
Congratulations.
For serving another
big
year.
Campaign.
Vice President, 4.2.
Chairman, I nominate Lisa for another year.
I have a nomination of Lisa. Do I have a second?
I'll second that.
Any more nominations?
I move to close nominations.
No more nominations. Those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Congratulations,
Lisa. Lisa.
Thank you, Lisa.
We're going to get to the tough one here coming up.
Yeah.
So
we'll
he's been through a rehab, so he's fine now.
Secretary. nomination for secretary.
I'd nominate Mike.
I have a nomination of Mike. Any more nominations? Those in favor? Oh, I'm sorry. The second?
Second.
I have a second. Any more nominations? Those in favor?
Aye.
Motion carried. Congratulations, Mr. Potter. Wow. Well, we don't have a Jim Shovel in here, so we'll be looking for a nomination of treasurer.
Can we give Carlin some context? So Jim Shovlin just termed off our board as a Wright County citizen member. He's been on the board for 9 years, and I think he served treasurer for like half that amount of time. So we're all kind of suffering from the loss of Jim at this point because he was really great.
He was good.
Yeah, he was really good at the treasurer role. Really
good. Mr. Chair, I would nominate Jeff.
I'm just trying to recruit Dan.
I saw you guys.
I seen that going on, so I thought I
would. Wait, I'll second that.
I have a nomination for Jeff ceased. Bertram, and I also have a second. Those opposed. Do we have any more nominations?
Move to close nominations.
We have a motion to move to close the nominations. Again, we have a motion for and a second. Those in favor of Jeff Bertram as treasurer, aye. Opposed. Motion carried.
Thank you.
Congratulations,
Jeff.
We'll
be able to step in Jim's shoes all day.
The bar is high.
Money now, Jim. All right.
The only job to do is a questionnaire, and that's all Jim did.
Appointment of members of the 2019 Great River Regional Board of Trustees Standing Committees, 4.5. So we're starting with the Executive Committee. Do we need a motion on those two? Or is
you can appoint, Mr. President.
Well, we're going to
start with finance.
Oh, I thought we were just going to keep going. Because we have Jim in here.
Whichever.
I think we have to get.
So we're all on the same page.
Yeah, let's start with appointment of executive committees. Because in that note, we have Jim in there. So I would guess I would need a motion to add or take off any committee members.
And we need to have someone from each county.
Well,
we need to have someone from each county as part of it.
And Jeff will take Jim's place.
Right, yep.
Right, so we have.
So you'd have myself, Morrison,
right.
Lisa.
Morrison. So we do need someone from Todd and.
Dave is Todd.
I'm Todd. There's no citizen from me.
But Jeff can serve as the citizen member, right?
Mr. Chair, I make a motion that we replace Jim's position with Jeff Bertram. He's already there because of treasurer.
Okay.
Oh, that just happens automatically.
Yep. Right. Mm-hmm.
Got it.
But then we have Fran would be, is he?
Stearns.
He's Stearns.
Yeah, we've got our counties fulfilled, so at this point it doesn't have to be a specific.
Okay. But we still need one more appointee on this one, correct?
But it can't be from Stearns?
It can be from
anywhere.
Can? Well, the person that has the most library experience outside of our professionals would be Carlin. Might as well.
Is that a motion?
It sure is.
Second.
Right. I have a motion and a second. Any more discussion? Those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. Motion carried.
That's nice to the word.
Thank you.
Jump in with both feet now.
I'm ready.
Finance
Jeff,
committee.
Don't talk over her, okay?
I won't, I promise.
All right.
Finance committee is filled because
Jeff
is
will
taking
take over
Jim's
Jim.
Seat, and the treasurer comes on with the president, and that means we have seven people.
All right, so I'll just ask for a motion that the appointment for finance committee is filled, as is.
I so move, Mr. Chair.
We got second. A motion and a second. Those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? All right, Finance Committee is filled. Personnel Committee. Look that over, you got Wayne.
Jim was on there too.
Yeah, so the only, is that because he's treasurer? Is that because?
He just liked being on that committee.
Okay, so now we'd have to replace Jim.
He did.
So we're going to need to replace Jim on this one. And again, it doesn't have to be Jeff. Would be nice, I'm sure, if you're
already on it.
Jeff's already on it.
Oh, yeah, there we go. So we do need a new replacement for Mr. Jim. Do I have a motion for Personnel Committee?
Dan.
I'll move that Dan is on personnel.
We have a motion. Do I have a second?
I'll second.
All right. Is anybody else would want to be on the board to replace if, let's say, you know, Dave, Mike, if you don't want, if someone else wants to take over? If not, those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Real quick. Appointment of Union Negotiation Committee members. Right now it's Michael and myself. I'm good with it, but if somebody else would want to get back on the board, or get back on the negotiating committee, I'd be okay with giving it up.
I move that we have Randy and Mike be our Union Negotiation Committee members.
All right. Do I have a second? I have a motion and a second.
I assume that Karen and Julie are automatic.
Yep. Those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Fund Development Committee members.
So later in the packet, we will be approving a job description outlining the duties for Fund Development Committee. This was a step that was outlined in our Fund Development Plan last year, so they are a little more concrete. I should note that several of the staff members who were part of the committee have chosen not to continue, knowing that that role is changing. And I think to some degree that makes some sense. So we can talk about that more now or when we get to the job description, but I wanted to make sure that that was
I recommend that since we're, you know, there, we might as well talk about it.
Okay. So, and I know at least one board member has expressed concern about some of the duties that are in the packet. One of the job duties of the Fund Development Committee member will be that they assist with solicitations. And that doesn't mean you're going to be the person going out cold calling by yourself, but it might mean that you're helping connect us with people at corporations or foundations and maybe going along with to a meeting to help with that ask if we get to that point. So just I wanted to make sure that if people had questions about that particular point, that was clear. In regards to the staff members, I should also note that a couple of them were LSCs who had new branches in the last 12 months, so a big change in their responsibilities on a day-to-day level as well.
So if I may, Karen, what you're telling me of the staff members, there might be only two or three. Is it important that we have them all, we have the six, or is it?
Well, Brianna and I have talked about this even today. And Brianna and I are on, no matter what. It's kind of like Julie and I are on union negotiations. That's what we do. That's our job. We do need board involvement. And it's really important that we have some credibility with our donors, that our board is committed. So having three committee members would be fantastic from the board. If we can get two, we would be happy with that. But I think less than that, since the committee is new and we have not yet added community members to the committee, we really could use that support from the board to get things going.
Based on information here, we have Jane and Mary. Laura is being replaced because she's no longer here. So I guess my question would be then, do we have any nominations, or if somebody would like to take over one of the members?
I volunteer for that.
I was going to move the,
and I'm going to complain a little bit.
All right, we have a motion. We have a motion of Lee to fill the position of Fund Development Committee.
Second.
And I have a second. Any more discussion?
I got some. The only thing I have to offer is that I'm wondering the development definition. I hope we interpret that to be more flexible. Because I don't think it's just about shaking the money tree. I think we can do some marketing things that develop a higher profile for the library in the public eye. I shared a couple weeks ago an article that was in Forbes, and it was about the New York City Library and some of the marketing things that they're doing. And some of it is tongue-in-cheek, but the point of the article was, gosh, you know, if you can't market a service that you're giving away, you're hopeless. So, and they had some fun examples in there of how they were doing that. So that's where I'll take it if you're taking me.
You alright with that, Brianne?
We have a motion and a second to continue with Jane, Mary, and now Lee as an addition. Any more discussion? Not those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Public Safety, Security, and Committee members.
Mr. Chair, we're not going to talk about the job description thing right now.
It's an action item, so if we have more, we can edit it at that point if we need to.
Okay, but thank you.
Good question.
Chairman, just in case there is somebody else that would be willing to serve on it, should we find that out, or because we're not limited, right?
Right, you could have everybody on
somebody
it.
Somebody else
really
is interested.
To,
yep.
Maybe now would be the time to.
Not all raise our hands at once. Okay, well, moving on with the security or library and security, we have Jeff, Mary, Dave, Lee. Question I would have is if anybody addition would like to come aboard for the safety committee or replace, if somebody willing to give theirs up. Otherwise, we will keep them the same.
And I will check with Eric and Michelle about continuing also. I forgot to do that.
Okay. All right, other than that, we'll have a motion to keep those four as committee members. Or I have a motion and a second.
Okay.
I have a motion and a second. Any more discussion? Not those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Okay. Exchange Board, Great River. Representative, we have Bernice, Mary. We're gonna need five, or is this?
We'll need three.
Three,
right?
But we'd love to have five.
Because Lee needs to be reappointed. Mary is on through the end of the year. Gloria is a citizen appointee who will continue through the end of the year. So we need to reappoint Lee,
Bernice too,
and fill Bernice's spot and Laura's spot.
Let's ask for discussion, then we'll point.
What, Mr. Chair, what are the term lengths?
2 years.
2 years?
I thought it was three.
Two, up to 6 years.
It's 3 2-years, right?
Right.
3 2-year terms.
Okay. Thank you.
So we need three, so we already have Mary, for sure, and Gloria.
I nominate Lee. Do you want to do them all at once, or should we just do one at a time?
Well, we can ask for nomination. So I have a nomination for Lee for the Great River Representative. Do I have a second?
Second.
And I have a second. Any more discussion? Any other nominations?
Not to overwhelm her, but again, Carlin, with her background, if you'd be open, and it's a good way to orientate yourself, I guess I'd move Carlin then.
Okay, I have a nomination. And now I have a second.
I'll second that.
All right, Carlin, I have a nomination and a second.
And Mr. Chair, we need three people.
Mm-hmm.
So then I would nominate Jane.
Unless Mary would still be interested.
Well, she's
still
on.
Oh, you're still
she's
on.
On.
Oh, okay.
Yep.
So I don't.
Very good. But, Bernice
is done.
Somebody
last,
else?
Right, that is Bernice's spot.
Yeah.
Yep.
So no, that would be replacing Bernice's spot.
Yes,
talking.
That would be.
Okay. So I have a nomination of Jane. Do I have a second? I got a second. Any more? And again, we can have more than this here too. So any more nominations? Any more nominations? All right, we'll close the nominations. We have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Thank you very much. I think that's it for all the committees. We got them taken care of.
And we don't need to do chairs for finance
no,
or personnel.
Take
okay.
Place in the respective committee.
Right. So for February, if you're on personnel or finance, consider whether you want to be service chair. Because we'll need to appoint that at the next
personnel
meeting.
Mm-hmm. And personnel committee will be at 5 o'clock on the 19th, correct? In February.
Assuming we have to cover the agenda. For sure, finance will be meeting in February.
Right. Because we haven't had a personnel come in, this will be 3 months.
Right. It's been quiet. Julie's working on a bunch of policies.
So I would say I would look at them being a personnel committee for 5 o'clock. Okay, moving along. Approval of the minutes. Want to take a look at those?
So move.
All right, I have a motion.
Second.
And a second. Any more discussion? Not those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Do we have any on the open forum?
No.
All right. There's no open forum. Financials. The 7.1, the bills. I'll need a motion and a second, and we would probably have a presenter. Lisa?
That's later in the agenda.
The motion to pay the bills. All the bills.
So moved.
All right. I have a motion. Do I have a second?
Second.
All right, I have a second. Those in favor?
Aye.
Motion carried. Financial reports. 7.2. Motion for the financial reports. I have a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
Any more discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Consent agenda. I assume we'll do all those in one action for their financial designation. I'll ask for a motion and a second.
Mr. Chair, do you need separation on the newspaper?
I think so.
Mm.
The designations,
oh.
I think, should be separate,
okay,
from the newspaper.
So we'll do the 8.1, all of 8.1, A through E, and then 8.2
I'm
will
sorry.
Be
sorry, it's a different, actually, I'm sorry.
So,
I was looking at 8, so my apologies.
I'll make a motion to approve the consent agenda as presented.
All right.
Second.
I have a motion and a second. Any more discussion? Those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. 8.2, designation of official newspaper.
We've been using the Times.
Okay. Did they give us a bid or anything like that?
We haven't had to use it since we started doing it. Okay. So. <All right. laughs> but when we didn't have it, we really wish we did. So.
All right. All right. I'll need a motion for the designation of the official newspaper.
So moved, Mr. Chair.
I have a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
Got a second. Any more discussion? Those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Anything else?
No.
Okay. Moving on to communications.
The audit letter is the standard audit letter just provided for your information. Any questions about that? If not, I can move on to the next
library
item.
Legislative,
okay?
Yep. Just keep going
so
down.
Library Legislative Day will be February 26th, which is a Tuesday. Should commissioners know that we lobbied very hard to try to get it on a date other than a Tuesday, but that didn't work for us. We will, Jamie, Ryan, and I are planning on going down, so if anyone would like to join us, we'd be happy to carpool with anyone or meet you down at the Capitol. There will also be virtual library legislative week from February 25th through March 1st. So if you're unable to attend, I invite you to let your legislators know that you value public library service in our area. Planks for this legislative session include the increase in regional library basic system support that we talked about last meeting and is on the agenda again this month. To create a grant pool for library media specialists, which is similar to what they did for high school counselors a couple of years ago. The inclusion of library funding at the same level for legacy appropriations in the House and Senate bills, and annual funding for broadband for public libraries, our RLTA funding at $2.3 million per year. So that's the high level stuff. If you want more details, I will share them out as they're available. If you want to go, let me know. It's a fun day.
February 26th, correct?
February 26th.
Will you email that out?
I will be emailing it out. At this point, all I have are dates. There hasn't been anything concrete to send out, but it'll come up fairly quick. And last year there was snow, so I'm hoping that it's a lot better than last year. And I don't know if I said this at the last meeting, but Jamie Trenum, if you remember, she had been elected Minnesota Library Association legislative chair a couple of years ago, and she was again elected that for next year. So she's incoming chair this year, and so she'll have some statewide roles as well at the legislative, in the legislative arena. Meeting schedule is included for information purposes. The board did, I think, take action on that last year, but if you have questions about them, the dates, let me know. The work sessions, please hold the dates, but we have typically not used all the work session periods. Like last year, we didn't meet in December, so.
And your work in the, and those meeting schedules are on page 35.
Right. Thank you. And that's it. There's no presentation tonight either.
Okay. Any questions on any of that? Moving on. No presentation. Staff report. Karen.
Okay. So, a lot of things that have happened in the last 24 hours. Starting with last week, it says on page 37 of my report that we were scheduled to meet last Friday with the City of St. Cloud regarding the lease. We received an email late Thursday from the city with a counterproposal saying that rather than meeting, they would send us a counterproposal. Aaron and I looked at it a little bit more today. We think their counterproposal was actually higher than the one that they sent us in November, and it's a little more complicated. So I will... The one point that hasn't changed in any of the negotiations in person or virtual at this point has been the city's desire for Great River to take on ownership of the automated materials handling system here. It'd be helpful for me to know if you have any perspective on where you'd want to go with that item. Know that it's probably going to cost at least $500,000 to replace it if that day should ever come. So...
If I may, Karen, who is responsible for it now?
The city. The city owns it. The city went on RFP for it when the building was constructed. The maintenance contract for it is run through the building expenses at the current rate of 82% city responsibility, 18% Great River responsibility, as the money changes hands multiple times throughout that lease. But that's how the costs for that machine are currently split. The last proposal we sent them, we said we'd be willing to take on maintenance if we went to this cleaner lease formula, but that the city should retain ownership as a capital expense for the building. It's tied into the building. It goes right through that tunnel. So I've been thinking a lot about this since they sent that last week, because it's the one negotiation point that never changes in all of the conversations. But Great River doesn't have the ability to bond or levy or to loan money. And so to buy a machine.
Loan money or borrow money?
Borrow money, sorry. Okay. Well, no, we probably couldn't loan money either.
Not for me.
So for us to take it on, it's a different beast than what the city currently has. And
well, they know the life expectancy is
right.
Is gone.
Done.
Yeah.
So what is the, if you had to replace it, what is the alternative of replacing $500,000?
Well, we talked about that with the city last summer when we sent our first proposal over, and we'd actually come up with a way to eliminate the machine completely, but mm-hmm. it would have meant capital expenses on the building now.
Mm-hmm.
And they weren't willing to make that investment in the building.
Do we know any other libraries that have a similar system?
Several down in the Twin Cities area. I did talk to the Hennepin County director a couple of months ago, and as they've been remodeling those libraries, some of those machines have been taken out, partly because they're very difficult to retrofit. Once you've changed a space, they don't really work very well in a new configuration. So some of them are being taken out.
That leads into how amenable are those systems to servicing?
The
I mean, if you redesign,
for,
then
yeah.
if the you belt, redesign the need, yeah.
Right, the belt could go for a long time. We just demonstrated that when we updated it. The issue is the return mechanism has technology attached to it, as does everything on the inside.
Okay.
And so it's not so much the conveyor belt as getting things onto the conveyor belt and then having the machine know what to do with it on the other end. So we'll keep negotiating and
Mary.
Sheriff, for Karen. So what are the metro libraries doing instead of the automated system like ours?
They went to ways of returning the books without a machine. So, you know, a slot in the wall. They're renovating the whole building at that point, though. So it's easier to do a big building overhaul. And Hennepin owns its own buildings. So that's where it's a little different, too. You're not in a tenant relationship when you're talking about these kind of changes.
Did that solution take additional staff to make that happen? Or is it just physically renovating?
It's
space.
Physical renovations.
And no added staff.
I don't believe so.
My question, Karen, and I discussed this before. Pros and cons. If we don't do a agreement lease with the city of St. Cloud, could you kind of explain it? So we just keep going like we are?
Until they say you can't be here anymore? Yeah.
That's
and I that's the path we're on right now.
Right.
Yes.
So, but
hey, what's your version?
I didn't get that one.
As soon as we've got a new agreement, we've got a new cost structure too.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of like the cost structure we got. So why should we be in a hurry to hammer out a new agreement? It's cheaper to maintain the posture of, yeah, we have to work that out someday.
The question.
Let's let Lee call him. Lee's been involved.
And I know Jeff or Lee mentioned this here before. What is the city going to do if they're not going to kick us out? I mean, the whole city of St. Cloud, like Lee said, would be in an uproar.
Yeah, we'd get our advocates doing letters to the editor and calling the mayor. Yeah, you know, we'd be a real pain in the ass.
Is there any other thing that, if without this lease, that when we're still continuing on the old per square feet or whatever, what other consequences if we don't?
You get another boiler situation, and then we've got muddy waters again. I think that's the other risk you run. I mean, the
boiler situation.
Yeah, okay. The boiler situation wasn't that.
But now moving forward, if the belt would break or the electronics would go on the machine. It would be the old contract. They'd pay 82%.
That's what we've been functioning under, but we had some issues with getting the belt fixed last month. I think we've got agreement on where that's going to go, but we won't really know what's going on until we get the bill from the city.
So roughly, what would the bill be? A thousand?
It was $1,000 to fix the belt last time.
So in this case, the city would have to pick up 80% of it, correct?
In theory.
In theory.
And we believe, and that's what we will hold them to, but. Whether that will be resolved in January or December, like last year.
To be determined.
Yep.
What, Mr. Chairman, and I'm not sure, maybe everybody's a little bit too close to this. I mean, I'm probably the most naive to this. Why would the city of St. Cloud stick the kind of money that they did in the building this building and promoting this building and, you know, maybe we need to put Costco on the outside of the wall or something. I mean, it's really disturbing to me that it's a public facility built. They were proud of it. You know, it's in the center of the city. I don't get it. Are the wrong players involved with this? Are they being given marching orders? Or should we make it all political where the commissioners meet with the city delegation and eliminate not the staff from the library perspective but from the city perspective?
I'm going to have a hard time answering that question.
Yeah, and you don't have to answer it, but think about it.
I think we were really close to an agreement back in 2015, back when the city had a different administrator and a different finance director. I would say the relationship with the administrator has been great, but when it comes to the finance department, the standards are different than what they were holding back in 2014 or 2015 when we were having those discussions. And so I think that's primarily where this is coming from, is a new finance department perspective.
But yet, Mr. Chairman, they have to answer. They're answering to someone. And are they, you know, my curiosity is, are they being given marching orders, or are they just doing this, and it really hasn't risen to the top? Because, you know, the definition of insanity is keep doing the same thing and expecting different results, and we're really not getting anywhere. And it just keeps, and maybe you would know better than
If you hadn't stole the administrator away from him, we wouldn't be in this problem.
Right. It's all Stearns County's fault.
Karen,
I won't repeat it, but appreciate the position you're in right now. Okay? And if we had to fix the belt or that system, we certainly have the funds to do it ourselves, but we could do a chargeback. And then chargeback would be another element of the negotiation, what the hell? I mean, it's they got a mayor, they got a council, they got an administrator. We ain't their daddy,
I think what Karen's looking for is some direction.
Well, you got it. Don't do anything.
Well, and Lee's on the committee with us, and Ed's on the committee with us, and Dave.
I agree with Lee. It's when that was put in. When this building was built, it was part of the infrastructure of the building. There's nothing in the contract that said that ever changed.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing. And they're trying to change that in midstream. And I say, if they're going to do stuff like that, we'll just stick with what we got.
All right.
And, Mr. Chairman, again, at some point, like the political will take place of the commissioners or someone getting a hold of the council and the mayor and saying, guys, are you aware of this, and how long are we going to let this go? At some point,
can we just shut up?
You and I have always had that problem. Maybe we can do it together.
Come on. We'll start a two-man therapy group.
What I hear everyone's saying is that we just let Karen, we got an offer to them, and just don't respond to them, and just keep moving on, and and see what happens.
Yeah.
Poker.
Okay. That's right.
I think it's good.
Mr. Chair, it's okay. Those two or three maybe have a good philosophy, but you know what? It's her that has to deal.
Right, that's why I was bringing that up.
Okay, I'm sorry, with it. And, Lee and I kind of differ on our opinions. I say go to the table and try and negotiate and get it taken care of, but it's it's her that has to deal with it. When something comes, then it's her head to try and get things done and accomplished, and the way it sounds, that may be a major task with this new administration.
It's a lot of...
Yeah.
If you may, Karen, explain the boiler system. Just give us a brief what happened there. What there could be caused under the...
Last 2 years ago, we started looking at the heating system for the building. City Public Works took a hard look at it, which had never worked well as long as the building has been constructed, and they started digging into the boiler and realizing that the boiler failed and was not repairable, even though it was only 8 years old. So a very expensive project, and the city came to the Great River looking for funding to help support that boiler project, even though it was tied to the building itself. Part of their claim was we had been involved with hiring the maintenance company and didn't hold them to a high enough standard to make sure that that was getting done appropriately. And that was contributing to the failure. And then last year, there was an issue with the chiller as well. And so compounding that. And every time that comes up, we go back into the negotiation phase with each issue, because every one of them right now is subject to negotiation because we're in this weird spot with the lease. I mean, whether it's the belts or anything else that we need to buy for the building. We've been working with City Public Works, and they've been very good about supporting us when we really do need to get things fixed. That being said, there is a window up on the top floor right now that's leaking, and the city finance department has said not to fix it right now. Well, fix it last year because the budget wasn't there to support it. So it's been a really weird spot to be in. And the chiller and boiler was a really good example.
And I appreciate that. So that's the dilemma we have. So if we just sit on and do nothing like Dave, now we have these other issues that could pop up. So is that the direction we want to go?
This is not unlike a business or a retail outlet renting space in a shopping center, or a commercial operating entity leasing an industrial building. The landlord, the expectation, and it's better than an expectation because it's usually in the lease, is responsible to put the property, put the building, whatever, into an operable and keep it in an operable condition. So the boiler and those types of mechanical entities, it's clearly, you know, in typical commercial practice, it's their responsibility. So the fact that we're cooperating on that front, they should, you know, we are a wonderful tenant, and, you know, if you compare it to the real world. So the expectation that that boiler would only have an 8 or 10 year life, it's not our deal. You know, this building is delivered in an operable condition.
So, Karen, you said that there was a leak in the window upstairs, and it hasn't been repaired or was repaired?
To my knowledge, it hasn't been repaired.
And the reason is because of the contract. So there's one that we're going to be looking at, is if it gets too bad and starts damaging books and whatever, mm-hmm. you know, who's going to be responsible for that?
Are they not obligated, to Lee's point, to make the building whole, make it usable to the requirements of the contract?
If they own the building, wouldn't they be responsible for the maintenance of the boiler too? Why would that fall on us?
They made the case that we were partially responsible because Great River hires the custodians and helps manage some of the contracts for the building systems. And one of the reasons that it failed was the way the contractor maintained the boilers.
Yeah.
Who inspected the building?
Out the boilers. Did we spec out the boilers or did St. Cloud?
And I think that's good, but I'm gonna hang on these windows for a while or two. If they're not willing to fix it, is it because they're not in their contract? Is that what they're telling?
No, they're not willing to fix it because they say they don't have the money. That's the kind of
window?
That's why when I say it's coming from the finance department, it is coming from the finance department.
Here we got two violins playing now.
So right. Now, in this situation, what do we do with that window? If they don't have the money, they're not willing to pay for it, do we have to fix it?
No.
And then,
no.
But
okay,
then if something gets damaged.
If something gets damaged,
right.
Or then get
put
a
them on notice
it,
that there's
do
an
we
issue?
Bill them or hold
yes.
money back, funds
yes.
back?
Yes, you fix it because we need it operational, let's face it.
Okay.
And then but bill it back. And if they don't pay it, well, we've got another item to negotiate.
Well, the other thing is that if you put them on notice that this is here, you've got to put them on notice because if you ever end up going to court, those with the most documentation win, you know. And if you have, we put them on notice, this is what's leaked, and you acknowledge it, you know, and you chose not to do anything about it. If something happens as a result of that and we have to fix it, our insurance company can chase after them if they have to,
mm-hmm.
if need be. But document everything. Just
so in defense of Karen again, this is a burden that they brought in. It's going to be a burden on her. So if we sit and do nothing, but we have to do something, such as Mr. Potter saying, because the fact that someone's going to have to document, because if they don't fix it, are we going to have to repair it? Or are we going to take them to court? And see, those are just...
To your point, Mr. Chair, Karen's empowered to be able to
yes.
have a resolution to bring forward to us and say, what should we do with the window? We can vote on fixing it and charging back.
If she got through the stuff we put her through, I didn't put her through, but I tried, the last 6-7 years, she can sure as hell handle the city.
Yeah.
You know, and if she wasn't so capable, she wouldn't have the job.
So is that something that everyone's agreeable to let Karen have the
yeah.
power to
Karen,
say, okay,
go beat them up,
not
Karen.
Gonna fix
okay.
it here.
We'll keep
is that
beating
okay?
them up.
Yeah.
Keep it.
Notify
good
them first
Karen.
So we
yeah.
are on record.
Quite dirty.
Lisa.
On the fence with this. I get it, Lee. I also hear Dave, and I'm kind of with Jeff that when do a couple of us go to the mayor
mm-hmm.
or the council and say, hey, are you aware of what's going on here? Has anyone talked to the mayor or any council members?
And I'd be okay with that if some board members want to go talk to him.
I mean, I know Dave Kleiss very well. I want to call him up and say, what the is going
yeah.
on?
Mr. Chair, I think I would move towards the side of doing something actively rather than just sitting and acting in a passive-aggressive manner of, okay, if you're holding out, we're holding out. Let's see who blinks first. It's much better when you bring something to the table and say, hey, we are ready to negotiate. We want you to sit at the table and do something.
But I think I would request that the mayor or his designee was involved in that, if it's just been staff so far.
Mr. Chair.
And it hasn't gone anywhere.
Ed.
I think we have been at the negotiating, right? I mean, it's been somewhat negotiating back and forth. And
I mean, we've been emailing, but
right.
You haven't been at the table, but
right.
They know that we're talking.
They evidently don't want to come to the table. That's what I think. I agree with Lee. Just let it ride.
So we kind of have a conundrum here. Is this something that we would want to vote on, how we want to do this? As far as, you know, do we want to sit back?
Sit back.
And do, you know.
Jesus,
I mean.
I don't want her to do any more work.
Well, no, but I still want her to put notice that there's a problem here, an issue, so we're covered that way. That here's an issue. Because then if something happens and we have damages, then you have recourse to go after them. You knew there was a problem here. You chose not to address it. Therefore, the liability monkey's clearly on your back on this because we have a contractual lease agreement with this. And in those leases, it's typical. You will have an operational building here. And if this proves to be wrong, and I'm just trying to wonder if they're trying to leverage that against the boiler and that. And I don't know if the library board at that time was part of the specking process of that boiler, because it appeared to me what I read and what I hear is they put in the wrong boiler to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
And it was probably because we got by cheap by this was
mm-hmm.
an alternative that was cheaper.
Yeah.
It wasn't the correct one, but it was a cheaper one.
Mm-hmm.
And they come back to bite them.
So what if I, as a response to what was sent last week, say that we're concerned that we're in this stalemate position, that the city continues on this path and continues not to resolve some longstanding issues like the leaky window. And that, as a next step, if we don't get to a resolution, that board members be interested in meeting with city officials to discuss next steps or something like that. I mean, do we want to go that far that fast?
Or invite the council members to the board meeting if we can't get resolution. Let's talk. What yeah, we have face to face. The email thing sometimes is you can hide behind something. Once you're face to face, then okay, you know there's a problem. Why aren't you dealing with it?
Better yet,
Mr.
the
Chair,
first step would be to
may
review
have no
the lease.
Clue.
Yeah.
And
most
the mayor.
Likely.
I would say my guess is the council members have no clue.
That's right.
Yeah. That this is all
then
on
they
a
need
staff
to be
level.
Brought in the loop.
And Mr. Chairman,
yeah.
Because it was my idea originally, I'm going to make a motion that we do a delegation of three or four elected officials. And I think it should be elected officials trying to make contact with three or four of their elected
mm-hmm.
officials. But remember, it's a weak mayor system. So there's a new council president. I would ask to meet with the council president, the mayor, and then whomever else, the finance chair or somebody. I mean, Karen would have to help coordinate this, but just to help, not to have their staff there, don't have your staff there, just saying, guys, can we get our staffs to work together while you're still doing that other thing yet? I want, so I made the motion that there should be a delegation, elected delegation, to meet with a delegation of their elected delegation.
Yeah, I'm going to disagree with you. I think any board member should be able to go. So if you'd want to go, because you represent, you know, everybody here represents the library. So I think if they would want to go, I think we should let any member of the board.
And the only, Mr. Chairman, the only reason I'm saying that is obviously electability is obviously they look at things differently, and you don't want to get it too big. I think three or four people, I don't think we want them to come into a board meeting and have that kind of discussion.
No.
It'll be fruitless.
Right.
So I think, again, not more than you get in a suburban, and that's usually seven. Otherwise, you're just asking for trouble. However, if there's not a second to the motion, then we'll have to change it. But
no, that's fine.
I'd like clarification. I think they got a strong mayor system.
I thought it was a weak mayor.
I don't
know. You'd know better than
I.
No.
Yeah, it's a strong
mayor. No,
it's a strong.
I think a number of the small cities around here, quite a number, have a weak mayor system.
Yeah.
So if I may, Jeff, could you read, can you kind of give us your motion that you're...
My motion is that we have three or four elected officials from this board set up a meeting with three or four elected officials from the St. Cloud City and meet and say, do you know this is going on? What can we do to resolve this? Keep this thing moving.
I want to start.
So I have a motion on the table. Do I have a second for more discussion?
Mr. Chair. I'll second it.
All right, I have a second. This
is my, your motion is okay, but when we say meet with three or four of their elected officials, it's the open meeting law that kicks in. So I would suggest we only meet with two of them, but that's my.
And I can't, Mr. Chairman, I can't remember how many of their, how many council there are. Are there seven? So I don't think three, four would.
Dave, if they, long as they if they post it, then we can have, you know, if it's open to the public.
That's true, but I'm just saying we gotta be careful about the open meeting.
It would have to be posted if you have three or four county elected officials there. We just can't go there.
We could say three.
It wouldn't affect our.
And it's have to be published.
It would not affect our quorum, but it'll affect if it's elected, so if three commissioners go there, then it has to be posted. Otherwise, it's against state lit, whatever, as far as the quorum goes.
Can a smaller group go?
Yes.
Karen and one elected official.
I think that's the best approach.
So we have a motion and a second. Any more discussion?
I'll.
If I mean, we can do all the delegation we want, but if they don't wanna meet and they don't wanna come to the table, there's no sense to do this.
Yeah, I agree with Ed, and I think in the same fashion, the way we did the Sartell Library meeting. Do you remember that?
Mm-hmm.
That went well. It got to a point where they were both willing to come to the table, and the meeting happened, and it went well.
And that was just Lee and I went to that one. Remember that?
But I think Sartell drove that one.
I was there.
Yeah, but I'm talking about county commissioners as well as two.
Yeah.
Yep.
But Sartell requested it. That was the difference. Sartell requested it.
Yeah.
Well, I wanna start with.
How can we get them to if we request it and they honor that request, then we're done, right? Then we could, the meeting's gonna happen.
I hope so. So I guess that we could, again, amend the motion and say we could request that based on what Jeff is saying, and if they say no.
Right.
Then we have to go to plan B.
Mr. Chairman, I think that answers then for all of us. They are aware of it.
Yeah.
And they don't wanna talk about it.
Yeah.
Then we go back to Lee's position.
Then we're back to Lee's.
Let's start with a review of the lease. I mean, a really detailed review of the lease and at least go in with that kind of information.
So would you be okay to amend that, Jeff, to say if okay, all right.
So what's it amended to?
Did that, if we're gonna approach them about having the meeting, and if they say no, then we're gonna go back to whatever Lee said. Is that agreeable to everyone? This way we're not gonna sit on our hands. We're gonna at least reach out to them as board members.
Correct.
To meet with them. And if they say no, on where we go, because we do have a lot on the agenda here.
I think it's really good on that approach to have some finality to it, saying this is our final attempt to meet with you on this issue. They've gotta be, when you're dealing with government officials, right, Mike? They gotta be pushed to the point where they know they have to make a decision.
Push hard.
Where they know they have to make a decision.
Okay.
And Mr. Chairman, the difference to me is I still am not clear if it's staff or if it's elected officials. If they're getting the marching orders from the council, that's a whole different perspective. I think the majority of us don't believe that's the case. We gotta flesh that out. If that is the case, well then we really can't do anything except for wait.
So would we reach out to the mayor? Because obviously that's where the.
Well, I wondered from Lisa's comment that she knows the mayor, whether that's worth.
Well, many people here know the mayor,
right.
I believe. So I guess whatever the will of the board is, council members or the mayor, I'm with Jeff. I'm not clear if they're getting marching orders from somewhere that this is it. We're digging in our heels with the library, or if it's just at a staff level right now, or if that has come from the council.
Could we reach out to the mayor and the council, all of them?
Well,
because this way, maybe like Lisa said, maybe the marching orders is from the mayor. We don't know that. It's assuming. So that might not get passed on. So if we would reach out to all the council and the mayor about this meeting.
Mr. Chairman, let me give an example. I'm involved with the Minnesota Highway 23 Coalition. We're a board made up of over 100 businesses. I'm a board member. We tried to get membership at the Commissioner Bowerly was at the meeting,
yep.
And Commissioner Mergen. The council wasn't even aware of our request because the mayor
Held it.
Yes, and I know for.
So then we met before the council, and it was a 3-3 vote, a couple of council members,
sure.
And we're going back. So they didn't even know about it. So that's why I'm saying I don't think everybody knows about this. And my suggestion was the mayor, the finance, the new president of the council, and the finance chair. Those are the three most logical council members. But don't assume that the city council, and if you've watched the city council meeting lately, and I have because of the 23 thing, trust me, they're not all on the same page.
All right, so I think if you break that down, we'll just reach out to mostly the elected officials there. I think that sounds good. And if they say no, then we go to plan B.
And who's the we?
So who would volunteer to reach out if they accept our invitation?
Lisa Foley.
Bless you. I mean, if you wanted to do it from a who's in the seat perspective, you and Lisa are president and vice president.
I'd be happy to do that, Lisa and I. Should we do that?
Well, it can be three of us.
Oh, yeah, okay. And I would suggest Lee because he's from Stearns County.
I would suggest Lee, yeah.
Right.
I would say Lee, Randy.
Yeah. And then again, this would have to be posted if they accept it, so then there's not a problem with being a quorum.
Mr. Chair, and I would only ask that prior to us, if they agree to a meeting, that we really get our ducks in the row.
Oh, definitely. Good idea.
And know what we're going in, what we want to ask for, what
good
we want
idea.
To talk about, be clear.
So you got that motion?
Respectful of their time.
Best as possible?
I'm not sure. I just have the Jeff's motion with a delegation of 3-4 elected people from here. We just assigned 3, though. And from our board to meet with 3-4 city elected officials to present the case and have direction on how to proceed.
Should that be reduced
then
to 2?
In addition to the motion.
We can do 3 as long as we post it.
Well, their council's bigger.
Yeah,
so
they
7.
Can do 3 and we can do 3. Our we're not near a quorum with 3.
Right.
So were there any other additions other than that statement and the 3 people that were just assigned?
I think we're good.
We
all right, we have a motion.
And a second.
And a second.
Second.
Yeah.
Yep.
We have a motion and a second. Any more discussion? Those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Aye.
Motion carried. All right. Great discussion, everyone.
Did we do a roll call? Wasn't I loud enough?
We got other stuff we
got
to do.
Yeah. We got lots on the agenda, so now you're going to have to talk.
Yeah, that was just my first thing. I'll give you a quick update on the 501c3. I just got from the attorney this afternoon the recommendation after him reviewing what the auditor sent over that we actually pursue 501c3 status, that he didn't see anything barring us from doing that. So unless someone has objections to us giving that a shot, we will keep down on that path. And that's it for my
segment
director's report.
Management report, including strategic plan.
Right. I think this is where Brianne was going to give an update on the annual appeal.
Hi. So I have an update within the packet. However, I wanted to provide up to date on our 2018 annual appeal. Our latest annual appeal update is 46,462. So as of 2018, we had a total of 76,458. And we are actually ahead of where we were last year if we are not accounting for a $12,000 major donation. So on January 5th of 2018, we reported we were at 59,559 for our 2017 annual appeal. But without our major giving, we were at 46,995. And as I mentioned, as of right now, we are at 46,000 as well. Therefore, we are very close to where we were at last year at this point without account. accounting for those major giving donations. That and just a couple other statistics from our annual appeal. Our average gift was $65. The number of donors that contributed in the appeal were 836. The minimum donation was 50 cents, and the maximum was 4,000. And there were 5 major donors towards this appeal.
Thank you.
Good question. Did we get the full board participation? I think that was one thing that we were hoping for.
Can I answer that?
That we were going to get.
Yes, I can answer that. We're at 99%.
Oh.
you break that down and you can say whatever you want. All who supported and gave donations, raise their hand. No, just kidding. But anyway, yeah, we're close. All but one.
Mr. Chairman, at some point somebody was going to give a report about the staff support. I asked for that in November.
Yes, it took us a bit to get to the number.
as we had addressed last meeting, this number has not been accounted for in the past. So in 2018, we have 36 staff donors, and in the past, 2017, there were 37, and 2016, 44 staff members.
One of the points that has been brought up in our discussions at Fund Development Committee is it's important to keep in mind that of the 280 staff members that are here, the vast majority are part-time, and 30% of them are making just over $10 an hour. So we'll have to think about what types of targets we might want to set around staff giving. We are going to be talking at the regional staff meeting about the idea of culture of philanthropy. It's not just about the dollars, but it's about showing the support for the effort.
And I think, Mr. Chairman, again, legitimately, it certainly got me to do more than I normally would have done with the appeal for the board members. And I think there's some ownership and, you know, the staff. If you can come to me as a potential donor and say 100% of the board has supported us and 99% of the staff have given 50 cents or a dollar or $2, there's ownership there. Now you got my attention. And so that's the point was well taken, I think, that the board should participate. And I think equally the staff, whatever level they could participate, it just shows that there's ownership there. I think I'm going to listen to this. In a marketing standpoint.
In the interest of time, I hadn't grabbed the kits over there, but a couple of the big projects are right behind the table, behind Lisa and Jane. The telescope project, there's a telescope that is part of the big rotary project that came out of Wright County, and we will be circulating those telescopes fairly shortly. And right next to them are the memory kits. And they're called memory boxes. They're interactive kits for caregivers used with people who are experiencing dementia. So maybe just pass these around. You can pass them around. This one, they haven't been cataloged yet, so please don't mix up the stuff or I will be in big trouble. This one's about dogs. And then the one over here, I think. SHIP program out in Wright County. This one is the summer collection, so I'll pass those around, but it's two projects and we'll have more at future meetings to show you what we're doing with the donations. These are things we wouldn't have paid for with operating funds, but it's the types of projects we're able to do because we're doing fundraising. So I thought you'd want to see an example of that. They are meant for people to check out. They have not yet been cataloged, so they're not circulating yet. So that's the one step that's left to do. So they,
you're supposed to take them home, and for people who are struggling with dementia, it's things to help trigger memories and conversations to help them kind of activate those brain muscles.
Any other discussion? Not? Building, we kind of did the building.
We've got two building updates, too. Mm-hmm. Rockford, we have not heard back on the wiring for that building for the express checkout still. The city before the holidays said that they were going to have a staff member address that issue. If you recall, we set money aside, purchased self-checkouts last year. That's the one that hasn't been installed. It's actually sitting up on a shelf in IT waiting for the wiring. So we're continuing to work with Rockford to try to get that resolved. And then the other issue, Dan might be able to speak to a little bit. We are still waiting to hear back on a report from the Howard Lake Library around mold. You can share what you shared with me.
Mr. Chair, I did speak to the owner of ProCare on this yesterday twice. The last question I asked him, because the report wasn't available yet, was, is there a health concern at the library in regards to the mold issue? And he said yes. Okay. I emailed Nick Hagmiller today, and asked him if he had received the report to please send it to either Julie or Brandy at the library. Obviously, you did not get that. I hadn't heard back from him on that email, so I'll try again tomorrow. But I don't give up very easy on stuff like this. So I'll just keep pestering him gently.
We've been trying to get the results, and Julie is reaching out to our insurance company, too, to figure out next steps. The difficult part is we don't have specifics at this point, so we don't know if it's something that can be resolved while the library is closed or if it's something that's bigger than that.
You need a number.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And then how's that set up? Are we a lessee on that, too?
Yes,
or
we
would the city be responsible for
it? It's supposed
cleanup?
To be a city issue, but depending on what
we
find.
We're going to get pretty good at this.
Yes, we are. Yes, we are.
When you're in public renting in this kind of a situation, you're both held liable.
Mm-hmm.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay.
So, in other words, if there is a real health concern and we know about it and we don't close the library down,
we
could be in trouble, too.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Thanks for the homework.
Thank you, Dan. Anything else on that? Building reports? Not?
Just a chair. Karen, I'll make it a point tomorrow to swing by Rockford on the way into Buffalo and talk to Dan Mattson, the administrator, asking them why they're not addressing this.
That would be great. We're not really sure if somebody's on vacation because of the holidays and they just haven't done it.
They're on vacation, but a different kind of vacation.
I like to give people the benefit of the doubt if I can.
Human resource. Library
assessment.
So
in the packet is the update on those libraries that were identified 3 years ago as having issues with their buildings and the progress with each of those buildings. As you know, Kimball got their big grant. And so you can see some of them have been resolved and some have ongoing concerns. Cold Springs, one that has been moving very slowly. Waite Park's been moving pretty slow as well. So this year is the year that we reopen that library assessment and start looking at service needs, facility needs. So that's something we can work into the next iteration of the plan. But these are the details provided if you have questions about that. Rachel might be able to help me answer them. Otherwise, we will be talking about the strategic plan updates, including some of the library assessment stuff at the February work session.
Mr. Chair, Karen, so a lot of these have, I'd like to understand the assessment process. Facility size is insufficient for collections and program areas, and possibly having to move to another location. I got to tell you, it kind of seems onerous to me. And help me understand why it's being flagged.
For Which one? Is that Cold Spring?
Becker, there's...
Or Becker.
Cold Spring. There's several of them that are insufficient space and expansion possibly needed.
I think each of them are somewhat unique. This was done... 2014 is when we first started looking at it. Mm-hmm. It was based on standards that we had developed at that point in time. And they were helpful in helping move forward a project like Kimball, where you're in a 100-year-old building
that's
significantly smaller. But when you're going to a community like Kimball, you have to be able to say that you're holding everyone to mm-hmm. an equitable standard. And so that's where some of those assessments came from. But, you know, really, we could use more size, more space in a place like Becker, mm-hmm. where the community's growing.
I understand safety and, mm-hmm. you know, that type of thing, and handicap accessibility, but I guess I would hope that we would be workable in those situations versus moving forward on pushing them to a new location.
Mm-hmm.
Any more discussion?
Chair, I'm just wondering, is Sartell not even in the mix right now for the assessment plan?
The library assessment plan on this part, aspect of it, was in regards to the facilities that we already had.
Mm-hmm.
Sartell is a separate project that will be assessed as part of it, and we did meet with Sartell last week and talked about how to handle the existing backlog and promotions and communication with patrons. So I don't know if, Aaron, do you want to talk more about what we talked about, maybe?
I think during that meeting, some suggestions came up that, a little more publicity on the side of Sartell, letting patrons know about how the system works, picking up their holds promptly, you know, just general knowledge, you know, to the patrons that they have out there. We discussed adding more capacity and some of the ramifications of doing that. And also about shortening hold periods, and so they've got some good information, and I currently have some follow-up things I have to take care of too.
How long is the hold time there right now?
It's the same as everywhere else. It's 7 days.
Well, it means that if somebody comes to the library once a week, they can pick up their stuff and not worry about it expiring. And something to keep in mind is when a hold is trapped, the notification isn't generated until the next day. And so the earliest you get notified that something came in today is tomorrow. So that counts that day.
But it's different in a physical space as opposed to the 44 locker, because then your locker is jammed up for 7 days for that person, correct?
Well, what we're finding is people are picking up their stuff. So
It's just a matter.
The hold ratio is actually lower there, or the hold expiration ratio is lower there than it is at a branch. People pick up their stuff in general.
It's just a matter that the Sartell system has a lot of users and not enough space to put them in there.
Karen, I just had another concern about these memory kits that you were passing along. Are these made by some, you know, with some research in mind or some stuff
yes.
in mind? Because the car one had a car that is really heavy in it. Is that going to be a safety issue? Because with dementia patients, they can injure themselves with stuff too?
You know, it was developed in partnership with the Buffalo Area Dementia Friends. And I believe someone over at Wright County. I don't remember how the partnership worked. Jamie was the one involved with that. So if you have specific questions like that, you could certainly... I can connect Jamie with you.
Mr. Chairman, I think that group is out of Center Care. I think so.
I know there was
group.
A health
I think
tie.
So, yeah.
If they have put their stamp on it, then I think you're good.
Yeah, good question.
Mm-hmm. If I may, on Wayne's point over there, on these 6-7 library systems, they're all under, other than the City of St. Cloud, they've signed their new lease agreement,
mm-hmm.
correct?
Yes,
so
they have.
That information would be in there if they have to, you know, take care of any problems or buildings or whatever,
mm-hmm.
right?
Right.
Any more discussion on that? Human resources. Is that Julie?
Yeah.
Please.
One of the big things we've been working on is the implementation of NeoGov, which is a recruitment software, and I think all the counties here utilize it as well. So we've worked on that implementation and started posting jobs January 1. I think we do have 6 or 7 jobs open right now, so we'll be sort of working through that process and seeing if there's any other bugs. So that's really been our biggest focus over the last couple months, other than all the end of the year things with payroll and new benefits starting January 1. I think we do have enough people enrolled in benefits that maybe we can get our renewal information a little earlier in 2019. So that's most of what we've been doing in HR.
Any questions? Thanks, Julie. Summary of 18 activities, unique management.
This is a comparison over the year for our collection agency. The cumulative recovery shows what it is since the beginning when we first implemented it. Even though we can no longer credit report in the way that we used to, we are still seeing pretty good return on investment with the service. And then the revenue recapture is the process we use to submit accounts to the Department of Revenue if they haven't paid, if they're over a certain dollar amount. And we continue to see a pretty good result with submitting those accounts.
I don't know if this is the appropriate time. We've got a couple emails from the fines that were, I don't know, are we still addressing that as far as how we implement charging people when they come in to get a books? Is that still on the table? Or?
We are talking about it at leadership team right now. We have an idea that we will probably be bringing forward to the board in March around juvenile fines. Since it's still in its infancy as an idea, and because the idea will probably have a lot of support based on the emails you have seen, I want to be careful about how we talk about it publicly until we're certain that that's the direction we want to go.
All right, thank you.
So, Mr. Chair, just would like to back up just to staff recognition report. There was someone who doesn't have a supervisor, has been here 20 years, and did not get recognized for 20 years of service. So thank you, Darren.
Good catch.
Right there.
Slow learner.
I wish Jay was here because he started about the same time I did. And when I was in Sauk Center, I remember he was just about finishing college, and we're both like, we're out of here. No, here we are 20 years later. And I don't think either of us saw that where the organization was going and where we would end up. It's been fun to see the change over time.
Yes, we're glad you're here.
So now we can, committee reports, finance committee. Lisa, I'm sure you can do that one.
Chair, the three items that we addressed primarily at the finance committee meeting that happened today at 5:30, just before this meeting, is the fourth quarter financial report. You guys all have these, but it shows in the end a $549,000 surplus due to overage in revenue and underage in expenditures. The next item is that we supported as a committee investing due to the growth of the MAGIC general fund balance. We're supporting Aaron investing the purchase of one new additional certificate of deposit each month. Between $150,000 and $175,000 during the calendar year, starting now, but that we'll keep an eye on it. We find that we want to do some more discussion on how far we want to go with this or if we want to put a cap on it, so that'll be a future discussion. And then we had looked over the budgeted process timeline, which has not changed since last year, so we'll be using recommended that we will be using the same timeline that we used this last year for our budgeting process.
Would you be be so kindly to make a motion to approve the finance?
I make a motion that we approve the finance report.
Second.
Any more discussion?
Will that be an agenda item to reevaluate those CDs that you're buying monthly, or how will that be looked at?
It will be with the finance committee, right?
Yeah.
And if I may, we brought this up, we'll have to wait till the end of, or beginning of this quarter ends, because we have replacements of personnel and stuff that, so we want to see how that shakes out until then.
Yeah, but those meetings are welcome to any of the board. You're welcome to come and sit.
It's a public meeting.
Yep.
It's a public meeting. So, but we will start that discussion at that finance committee level.
Mr. Chair, is that one CD per month? Is that to secure that 500 and whatever?
Aaron, could you address that?
Can you repeat your question?
Where is the money coming from for the new CD each month?
It's coming out of the Magic Fund general balance. It's our savings account. So, like, if you look at the financial report and you look on page 6, towards the top, you see where it says Magic Liquid Account, and it has $2.2 million at the end of December. It's coming out of there.
Aaron, what is MAGIC? That's an acronym. What does that stand for?
It stands for, testing me.
I asked that.
Minnesota Association of Governments Investing in Counties.
Thank you.
And it pays nothing?
No, it does pay something in the average month-end balance, but it's nothing near what a CD will pay.
And what are those rates?
CDs?
Uh-huh.
Currently, I'm investing around the 2.85 to 2.9 range for a year.
I have it. Thank you.
And they keep climbing. And the thing is, the bigger the portfolio, the more and the better performance of the Magic Fund itself, the better rates that you get.
Mm-hmm. Any more discussion?
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Back to that. Yep. So I have a motion. I would need a second, please.
You got a second.
Did I have a second?
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay. All right. Motion and a second. Those in favor?
Aye.
Motion carried. Library Safety Committee. I know we have a couple members here. Jeff?
Yep. Karen made me do it. We met November 28th. We talked about the DVD that was purchased, the essentials of front desk safety and security. Interesting. A couple of highlights that the DVD pointed out. We haven't seen it personally yet. I think everybody can go someplace to see that, right?
Anyone who's interested can watch it
right
at this point. Yep.
So, but the highlights were, most people assume that it's somebody else's job to deal with a crisis. You know, when you're a group of staff, somebody else is going to deal with it. That's not true. The library environment contains all the risk factors for regular and serious security situations. Again, kind of naively, we don't, you know, realize that. And tracking and logging in visitors is a must. The essentials and frontline desk safety and security is going to be shown to all the frontline staff going forward. Officer Warner was there, and he presented the security-based training. And he's going to do that at the all-staff day for the staff. The St. Paul Library Code of Conduct was approved by the St. Paul Library. And so that's in effect. Posted prominently in 5 places. I know that was a big thing over the years. Karen's going to communicate this change to the city contracts. Updates on calls for service from the St. Paul Police Department was reviewed. Security audits. Dave is working on doing some of those audits, or maybe you're done now, on his branch visits. The service animal policy, which is coming up later, is going to be changed. And then just some of the things that the security committee has accomplished since we became in existence is St. Cloud's got a new conduct rule. St. Cloud has a new visitor sign-in procedure, the St. Cloud site. We have increased awareness and engagement with the board regularly dealing with the security at branches. The board has set aside money specifically for security improvements. We strengthen our relationships with the St. Cloud Police Department. We worked closely in draft the security audit for the branches, and we've identified new security training resources and continue to search for training related to emergency or emergent security issues.
If I may, Mr. Chair, I'd just like to add, Jeff, I have I have visited with two libraries branches, and I plan on visiting with maybe one or two more. And I see, and I'm not taking credit for this, but I do see that Swanville has moved their desk since I made my visit. We, in each branch I visited, we have visited about an hour and a half, and they were very welcoming and excited to have me come. And I apologize for missing the meeting. I messed up there, but I kind of delayed this audit thing because I had an election to go through. I told Karen I my first job was to keep my job, so I had a campaign to do in November and or early October and November, and then I have had some health issues, but I think they're very welcoming to having me visit, and actually I'm surprised at how much they're aware. So they are appreciative, and once I get done with two, I'll report back to the security committee. So.
If I may, Karen or anybody, and I'll be came in here. I came in here recently, and if you go someplace where you're not supposed to go, the staff came to me and said, "Hey, you got to sign in." I go, "What? What? You got to sign in? Yeah, okay." And I don't know if that, and it's a great thing, but it was, are all staff aware of this? So if you see somebody going in an area, are they going to approach that person and say, "Here, we need to have you sign in"? And if not, I think that would be very a good thing that we get all the staff on board and say, "Hey, if you see somebody walking around with places they should be."
This is a real good example of staff empowerment. Right. Eric saw the advertisement for the security video. He asked if we could get it. We got it. He watched it. Michelle watched it from the committee. And then they implemented that check-in procedure as a result of watching the video. And Officer Wonder came through the check-in procedure, and he's like, "Well, these are some things you can do next."
Sure.
So I think it's been a really good evolving process, and I'm glad to see that staff were willing to take an idea and actually run with it that improved security in the building.
And Mr. Chairman, Karen, explain who has to sign in.
Everybody signs in unless you don't have a badge. And I think, if I recall, the St. Cloud Friends were doing a bag of book sale with a lot of new volunteers, and that was kind of the impetus for implementing what we have now, because there were, at that time, a lot of people well-intentioned coming into the building who were new but wouldn't have a staff badge. So staff are expected to wear a badge as well. And just today I saw a vendor walking around the building with the new badges that they're assigned when they sign in.
But it's not people that just are coming to the library.
No.
Explain
this is,
that.
Oh, I'm sorry. Thank you. Yes, there was some confusion about everybody in the building having to sign in. That is not is not what we're talking about. We're just talking about the staff areas. So behind that circulation desk door, up in the administrative areas, and then the dock is impacted by that to some degree as well.
And that's where my point was.
I forgot all about that.
I went to a place where I wasn't supposed to be because I'm not, you know, checking out the library. Well, they called me on it, which I think was great. Hey, you got to sign in. Oh,
yeah,
we would
not want everybody who comes into the building to sign in. That would be unmanageable.
As the staff walks through the facility with their badges, have they noticed public members coming up and asking them questions? Because if they're wearing a badge, it's clearly obvious they're part of the staff.
I haven't heard anything new there.
Okay.
I think it would help, though, if there's some of the public walking around and trying to find a staff member, that that ID makes them stand out. So I think it would help with that process. So.
Yeah. We could have colored shirts, like, "Don't ever wear a red shirt and go to Target." That mistake
khaki
one
pants.
Time.
Khaki pants, red shirt.
Khaki pants. All right, good discussion. All right, moving on. Regional Library Basic System Support.
So I talked with some of you informally when I saw you at AMC about this issue. So to recap briefly, in November we talked about this. We talked about $3 million, $4 million, or a $5 million proposal. The board here said $3 million. And in the way the motion was worded, it was a pretty concrete $3 million. Since then, most of the other regional library systems have met. I think there's two that are meeting within the next week. All of the other ones have passed the motion to either be open to more than 3 million or to say 4 million or 5 million. So in the interest of creating statewide consensus, I wanted to bring that issue back to this board to know whether we're open to it being a larger request at the statewide issue or if there's something here around the 3 million that we really want to hold firm.
And for your information, we did kind of vote that, but I told Karen to bring it back to the board to have us take a look at it one more time.
So what I'm looking for from the board is on the document on page...
Looks like 75.
75, thank you. And Randy asked me to break down what does that mean? 3 million, 4 million, 5 million. So assuming that an accompanying formula change goes with, for our state aid, if we received $3 million more at the state level, under the current distribution with the formula change, we would receive about $170,000 a year more. Under 4 million, it'd be the 265. Under 5 million, it's 361. Keeping in mind that these factors are changing on an annual basis and the formula hasn't been changed yet. So it could go up or down, but that gives you an idea of what proportion would be of the total. And from the lobbyist's perspective, they're just looking for some flexibility when they go into the legislature and say, you know, we really want more funding for state libraries. There hasn't been an increase in years. And this partly gets us to the point where that formula amount is more stable. And if you look back over time and factor in inflation, especially knowing most library costs are staffing related, this barely keeps us to where we were at 10 years ago from a state level. So that's where some of the why is behind that 4 million and 5 million. Also, there are regional library systems that are not cash flowing right now with the level of state aid coming in through the current distribution. There are some operating on reserves, and without this, they may have some larger financial issues down the road.
So, Mr. Chair, did you say we voted on this already?
In November, the motion was to support the $3 million proposal.
So what are you asking to
I'm asking the Great River Board to consider being open to that being 4 or 5 million if that's what all the other regional boards have passed.
And if I can recall, the reason we didn't go with the 4 or 5 and again is because we didn't want to ask for the moon, because I think that's how it was.
It was right off the heels of the election.
Right, you know, so right. And whether then they would turn it down, but now appears, and correct me if I'm wrong, that all the other library systems are asking for more rather than the less.
Right.
So
right.
Do we want to just be the island and ask for the 3 million, or we want to open it back up and say, hey, you know, let's look at the 4 or 5 million.
I think, you know, uniformity is going to be really great when they go to ask the legislature to have fund more money. Karen explained it at AMC, and I think she did a really good job. So I think we should, I'll make that a motion that we should go at least to the 4 million.
Do I have a motion? Do I have a second?
Oh, I'll make the motion.
Well, we have a motion. I need a second from Ed.
Okay, I'll
for the 4 million. Any more discussion?
Mr. Chairman, one of the other, and I have no opinion on this at all. The other discussion item, though, however, was, I do have an opinion.
this would be the new you.
Think about that. But the other discussion was it's going to come from someplace else. The concern was, so we go for 5 million and then county funding is going to be shut.
Right.
Education.
Yep, right.
So that was part of the discussion. Yeah. Again, I'm not, I'm just sharing or reminding
you. No, I appreciate that.
We had that discussion.
Yep. Mm-hmm. So we have that motion a second. I'm asking any more discussion. Mary.
Would it be better to just be open to an increase or to pin it to a number?
I think being more general is probably better from a MLA lobbyist perspective, but I don't know how that plays out on the other side of this with your county. So I recognize that there's a tension there. And, you know, Great River is probably in a very different position because for us to say we really need this state funding doesn't sound quite the same as someone who's using reserves to operate.
So
but that being said, it would be better to be all on the same page when we go to the legislature.
That was the intent of my motion.
Right.
To be all
so
the same
your
motion,
your motion is this to be open, not have a set dollar amount?
I'll rescind my motion.
So you amend it?
I'll amend my motion to be open.
Okay. So we have a motion and a second. Any more discussion on the, that we'll just be open to the dollar figure, whatever comes that the legislators can do?
Thank you.
Any more discussion? Not those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Service animals.
So this was also on the November agenda. We added the points around miniature horses. Thank you, Zaria, for catching that for us. I think it is now in final form.
It's on page 81 if you want to look at it.
And this, as a reminder, is to align with changes in state law and ADA requirements. The miniature horse is actually required because there are some people with disabilities who, for one reason or another, cannot have a service dog. So this is the option that they have.
Mr. Chair, is staff trained on the proper questions they can ask?
The questions haven't changed a whole lot, but that will be a next step once it's final.
Okay.
Question, Mr. Chair, is will staff be comfortable saying you need to leave, or if there's issues, like who gets to actually do the action if there's a problem? Do they call security? Do they call?
Right, we don't have security. So usually what happens, like here in St. Cloud, this comes up quite a bit. So staff, there are staff here who are used to handling these types of situations more so than in a branch. When it has come up in a branch, a lot of times they'll call patron services supervisor like Rachel or Ryan or Brandy and say, okay, what do I do next? But our job will be to get the policy in front of everybody, make it top of mind so that if it does come up that we're prepared.
This is going to be an action item, but I guess I'm going to bring this to before that. It says staff may not ask for documentation. So if I want to bring my miniature horse in here, I don't need documentation from anyone?
No. Yes. We can't ask legally.
But service animals are supposed to carry an identification.
Exactly.
Right, but we can't ask for it.
So if they don't have an identification on them, if I bring my miniature horse and I don't have an identification, you still going to let me wander around?
No,
we're going to ask you these questions.
Right,
is it a service animal required to be present because of a disability? And what has the animal been trained to perform? If you can't answer those questions, that's when things change.
See, again, that's fine, I guess, but I think that documentation is very important because these a service animal, whether it's a horse or a dog, they go through some thorough training. And if I just did it myself and I know how to answer the question correctly, again, just a...
Can I maybe jump in and
please
talk from the patron service end of it? So usually it's pretty clear to staff, like, whether or not it's a service animal or not.
Mm-hmm.
You can kind of tell. There's different indicators. And so there are the two questions that legally that's all we can ask. But we have... There's other pieces in the policy that I think will be helpful for staff to use. The animal has to be trained. They have to be under control. They have to have a leash, be harnessed somehow. So there's different aspects there that I think that's another thing that staff can point out. Like, well, we do ask that your service animal has this and this and this. And so those are pieces that if it feels like it's not a service animal, they're probably not going to be following those different pieces, and that'll be something for staff to speak to and address.
Thanks.
That might help.
I can't resist with this, Mr. Chair. This is just too rich. Who do you hire to housebreak a horse?
I know, that's my point.
It's happening.
Mary, do you do that?
No.
Lisa, do you do that? I don't know. Will you look in the yellow page? Or you look on,
this
I
is
mean,
the one we
let's pull it up on the phone. Point. Who do you hire to do that?
That's a good question.
Service animals do go through training. And they are very well trained. I mean,
mm-hmm.
I've in different work experience that I've had, an opportunity to not see miniature horses, but I have seen service animals.
Siri
and
could tell you.
They're not, they're trained to not be social with people and to not interact with people in a way. They're trained to just work with the person that they are there to help and serve. So, I can't speak to how a miniature horse is trained.
At one point
working,
in my life, I was foolish enough to have horses.
But I mean, I would venture to guess that they, if it is a service animal, that
when
it probably has been thoroughly trained.
So when you are applying for they get you to come to that place where they have the dog or the animal picks you.
Okay.
So if the animal doesn't pick you, you're not paired.
Okay.
So the dog is before, you know, trained and everything else, then the patient and the animal go through weeks of training
together
to make sure that they are a good fit. If they are not a good fit, that is not done. The average cost to train a service dog is about $6,000.
Horses probably or more.
Probably.
A lot of expense.
Dogs I fully understand because they can do that. Horses are a little different.
Yeah. Oh, all right, that's good for discussion. This is an action item. I asked for
chicken.
A motion for the service animal policy revision.
Make a motion to adopt the security and service animal policy as written.
I need a second.
I'll second.
I have a second. We have no more discussion. No, just kidding. Is there any more discussion?
He's close.
All right. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carried. Thank you. Departing members.
Laura is not here because we did not know she was not coming back at the last meeting. So
we do have a certificate
for her. And we did invite her to come. But not to, so.
All right, we just want to thank her for her service. Anything else? New business. This is an action item, fund development committee position.
We talked a little bit about this earlier. Julie and Brianne looked through the fund development plan and came up with the duties and assignments based on what was in that fund development plan. So if you have questions about that.
Page 85.
Yep, 85.
Starts in 85.
And 87. And our idea with this is, at this point, fund development is a standalone committee. And once we get an answer to 501c3 status, it is likely a committee will incorporate it into the bylaws. Knowing that we're going to be recruiting committee members from the public at large, donors, community members connected to philanthropic networks, we felt it was important to have what the committee does in front of them when we're asking them to be a part of it. So that's why we brought it forward this month.
All right, this is an action item. I need a motion, please, for the fundamental committee member position.
So move.
I have a motion. I need a second.
A second.
I have a second. Any more discussion? Mary.
Mr. Chair.
I do have a couple questions about it. It seems we call it a position description, and then we say guidelines, a guide outlining responsibilities. And I wonder if it isn't too inflexible. We have staff members on the committee now. I mean, is it the intent to not have staff members participate?
It's not the intent at this moment. That's kind of where we're at. We haven't started asking people to join. Brianne and I have talked about this a lot. I think it's effective to have staff members. It's been helpful to have staff members to get us to this point, but we are at a new point than we were when the committee had board members first added to it. We are no longer at a point where we need to know what fund development should look like or where it should go. We're at the point where we need to actually raise money. So unless we have staff members who are comfortable committing to this assignment in addition to their regular job duties, it would be better not to have them on the committee if they're not comfortable with that. I don't want to force people to do something that they're that should really be a voluntary task. Even if it's not a volunteer job, so to speak, it is a voluntary role, with the exception of Brianne and myself, of course. Unless the board has a different view on where we should go with that.
Well, I'm concerned, I guess, that, you know, are we focusing on St. Cloud only? We have no staff members from elsewhere. Jane and I live in Elk River, but we have 32 locations, you know, and I know there are resources all over the place. We just need to find them. And how are we going to find them if we don't have people who know their communities?
One thing that I would like to contribute with that is I think that once we are able to recruit community members as well, that is where we will be focusing regionally. Hopefully we are able to recruit loyal donors and different corporations and sponsors throughout the full region. And that is where we are beginning to develop a corporate opportunity list. And I plan to work in the future with LSCs to see where they have different connections within their communities. For instance, within the locally grown campaign, many of them already led different sponsorship opportunities and connections.
So we're going to depend on our LSCs, even though they're not on the committee? Is that what I'm hearing?
Oh, yes. We'll continue to communicate with staff. It's just a matter of whether or not they're coming to a meeting on a regular basis or even going out on an ask. I think that's where there needs to be a lot of work within the staff to get people to understand that asking isn't just about the money, it's about the support. It's about showing the support.
Mr. Chair, Karen, it's consistent with, I was on Alina Hospital Board, and starting with the business community and local community members, building that nucleus, and then recruiting a volunteer group within your staff is how they approached it. And it worked really well because they had gala events and outreach events that they needed staff support. But they have to be comfortable and good at it, too.
And that was a foundation, right?
Yes, it was.
Dan, you had a comment?
Yeah, I had a question for Karen. At the beginning when we were talking about this, you said in regards to the 2018 committee members that some of these did not return or did not stay on it. Is this any part of the reason why they did not stay?
I believe so.
Okay. Can you comment on that at all?
Yes.
Okay.
In the past, the committee has served a different role. In the past, the committee was in a development phase. So what we needed from staff at that point was input and perspectives on how campaigns should be run, what focus should be for fund development, what are the types of things we should be looking for. Those committee members were at the workshop, and they provided input. At this point, we don't need the input. We need legs on the ground because we already have the plan built from that input. So the role of committee members has to change in order for us to implement the plan. And because the roles changed, some people aren't comfortable with that change. And because it's a volunteer committee, I don't know that makes sense to say you have to be on this committee. And some of the men have been on the committee for a couple of years. Mm-hmm. So I think that's part of it as well.
And again, I think that part of the decision was that quite a few of our members gained more job responsibilities as well within the last year.
Any more discussion?
This really doesn't have to be a dreary activity. Some aspects of development are events. Events are typically a lot of work, don't raise that much money by themselves, but they do build community. On the 26th, that's a Saturday afternoon, for example, the Humane Society is having a chili and Bloody Mary tasting party at the red carpet. Well, that sounds like fun to me. I'm going. You know, I also bought tickets for my kids. By God, you will do things with me and you'll have fun. So, we're giving it the appropriate consideration but we're missing out on the fact that there are aspects that you can build into this. Very good time.
Any more discussion? Mary?
Also, 1 year term. I mean, that seems kind of short to me.
And you and I talked about this last week, and that is partly because the committee members will have board members as part of that composition. So board members, the committee assignments change annually. I don't anticipate that part changing. And knowing that we're going to be recruiting community members, we want this to seem like a good opportunity for volunteerism. I don't want it to feel like a lifelong commitment to doing this work. It needs to be something that people feel like they can engage with.
Meaningful and fun.
Mm-hmm.
But when you say, when Mary says 1 year term, they can renew
they can re-up. Yep, they can re-up, just like we just did with all of the other committees.
Any more discussion?
Yes.
Mary.
Yes, sir. Sorry. No, I'm not sorry. how are we going to measure performance for committee members? I mean, are you going to fire me?
I would hope we'd never get to that point, but we have not discussed that at all. That might be something to talk about at the committee itself.
Well, it's called a position description, so if that's the case, then we have to be able to measure performance as well.
Mm-hmm.
I would assume if you're going to volunteer to be on this committee, you're going to be very involved with you know, but again, I don't think you can just fire him. You may, you know, say, if they have a chair or whoever does that, can get them go and say, okay, Mary, what do you think? And just keep them involved with it.
Ms. Chairman, I think ultimately I said last year we all play a role in that as board members. If you're looking to raise money and you tell us why, and we are open to meeting with your staff and you, you know, if I can bring you to somebody that potentially would give $10,000, you're going to be there. I'll be there. But you maybe have to do a better job of identifying what it is that you're looking for, who you might be going after.
Mm-hmm.
Relationships at the end of the day always matter.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. So Mr. Chair, I too agree. I see this group as coming to us with needs such as what Jeff just expressed, you know, that they're going to set this framework
mm-hmm.
for moving ahead in this area, but not necessarily doing it all.
Any more discussion?
And something that's occasionally overlooked, usually overlooked, a donation of time is almost as valuable as actual cash. So hold that thought. It was heated at first, but it turned out to be of some value discussion with my pastor at my church. And obviously, you know, I mean, there's financial concerns there in operating a parish, but that was eventually the conclusion of our discussion. Time and money.
I would actually say time is more than money. It's easy to write a check. It's much more difficult to commit yourself
mm-hmm.
to something and show up
yep.
every time.
Yep.
Well, there's that balance. You need both.
So, one last question. So, when are we going to be ready to recruit? Like, tomorrow?
Haven't met yet.
I thought it was going to be after this meeting.
I don't know, like 8 o'clock?
It'll be after the meeting, whoever wants to.
Did the Bloody Marys and the cheese?
Bloody Mary,
you
started something.
Talk
about language.
Is that a question?
Yes. Do you want to tackle that, Brian?
Yeah. I would say that would be probably a committee decision.
Yeah, when do we want to meet?
So when would the committee meet?
We are planning to meet in February. However, as it is addressed within the commitment, within the forming process of the committee, we were meeting monthly. However, we are willing to look at with the board members along with other members what would work best for timeframe in meeting for a committee as well.
So, Brianna, would that be something you would reach out to the board members and say,
correct,
give them a couple options, say, how about this or that?
Yes. Knowing that the membership was changing, we wanted to make sure that it was most accommodating to the new members. So it will be something that we revisit.
So,
when are you available, Bernie? Great, sorry. I was dreaming of Bernie.
Thanks. So are we looking for new board members tonight too to join, or?
I think that that was at the beginning of the meeting.
We did that beginning. Mm-hmm. We did that at the beginning. We have the committee. Let's see here. Who do we put on there?
It's Jane and Mary and Lee.
There we go. Yeah, we had three. And again, that was three, but we could ask for more if somebody would like to volunteer for that. So just those three are committed to be on the committee.
Well, I don't want to be a mini dead horse. So with that, I'm just discouraged that, you know, we've lost some productive staff members from the committee. Mm-hmm.
We could have the fundraiser at your house.
Okay.
Is that a motion?
Any more discussion?
Mr. Chair, I hate to belabor this, but
hey, we kicked the horses for a while, so.
Yeah.
I'm not clear on the focus of this committee yet. Because I read the front page here where it says background information, fund development committee member position description.
Mm-hmm.
And I get to the part that says, by the end of 2019, we hope to recruit at least two new community members who are connected to major local philanthropy networks. And my concern is that this is a goal of the fund committee and as part of the job description.
Can I clarify?
Help me clarify.
So the job
that
description itself is what you're approving.
Right.
That's a background statement that actually came directly from the fundraising plan.
So should this be a goal then have as a group, maybe?
The goal is already set in the fundraising plan that the board passed last year. That is in the plan.
Okay. That helps a little.
Yeah. Verbatim. I have it if you want it.
I'm just
go ahead, Ben.
It's
got
not
the floor.
Concordia College. I'm just trying.
Say that again.
I said it's not Concordia College, and I say that because they have a whole different process for raising money, and it's through big, big money donors, mm-hmm, not through your local groups of people.
Well, and that's where our emphasis is going. That's a separate goal, mm-hmm, of the fundraising plan, is to grow major giving. And so that may include fund development committee members, but that's also work that Brian is currently advancing right now.
Because my idea for the fund committee is that you have a whole gamut of $100 donors.
Someday, yes.
And
so, Dan, does that mean that you'd want to be part of the committee too?
Don't put words in my mouth now. I'm just saying.
I thought that the Lutheran goal was to make their folks as feel as guilty as the Catholics do.
Want to get into a religious discussion here?
We got to keep politics out of it. And religion. All right. Any more discussion?
No, that's it.
All right. We do have a motion and a second. And I ask for any more discussion. Those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Anything else other than a request for board orientation?
I'll jump ahead and just say that the work session in February we do plan on having, and our focus will be strategic plan updates from 2018.
What day is that going to be?
February 19th. There will be a finance committee beforehand.
And a board orientation? What is
board
that?
Board orientation. Carlin, we will schedule that with you whenever it works best for you.
Okay. And now we got that all taken care of. Open forum. I'll start with Dan. Anything?
Yes.
Fran?
Nothing.
Lee?
Aaron's gone. This would be in his wheelhouse, but I'm wondering if there'd be any value at some point going forward if we contrast and compare the operating costs of our branches. You know, we'd want to know size of the building, size of the site, age of the building, and, you know, what's their utility costs, hours of operation. See if there's some kind of metrics that would come out of that. I mean, the more data you collect, the more likely you are maybe to have something of value come out of it. But that's a long-term concept. But this facility doesn't fit the model of that. But I'm wondering if that would be, well, you wouldn't know until you're done if it has value, but that would merit pursuit in the future.
Mike? In less than 4 hours, Wright County will have its first administrator.
No kidding.
In history. Took me 6 years to get it done. I'm a little slow, but finally got it to the finish line.
Wayne.
Happy New Year.
You've had some good coordinating.
I have nothing.
Lee,
Mary?
Please good night.
James. Let it snow, that's all I have to say.
Lisa, and what we do here, Carolyn, is we go around. If anybody has anything to say before we adjourn, you're more than welcome to do that.
This was quite an introduction to y'all. Nothing beyond that.
I just want to appreciate the whole board and the staff for their input. I think it was a very informative meeting with Karen and everybody else here. So again, thank you for the input, and I'll ask for a motion to adjourn the meeting.
Randy, you're more comfortable doing this too. It helps.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
You've got a system now. I like that.
Motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second. We got one there. You can pick it off there, Pat. 8:05. Thank you. Good night. Till next month.